The Bible reading will be taken from Matthew 25:1-13. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say unto you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. The topic of our sermon today is Be Prepared and Wise. And it's from our quarter theme, The Urgency of the Last Days. I'd like to invite Brother Emmanuel Oku to share the word with us.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good morning, church. As it is with my custom, I want you to look at your neighbor. Do you have a neighbor with you this morning? Amen. Have you told your neighbor what I said? Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor Maranatha. Tell your neighbor you are looking beautiful today. Don't worry, you can tell a man you are looking beautiful. Amen. Amen. We are studying the urgency of his coming. That's our theme for the quarter. And today we are looking at Be Prepared and Wise. And you and I, we agree that the topic of the 10 virgins is not new to us. We started learning it right from children's Sunday school. So we can decide to take the cordless mic and hand over to each and every one of us. And the rhema we are going to get this morning, we can't exhaust it, because it's a topic that we have dealt with over and over and over again. But as the Lord will help us this morning, we'll just pick a few points, because I know that most of us are eager for 4 p.m. today. So we are not going to waste time as usual. Praise the Lord. We'll just pick a few points and we'll pray. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, because it is your pleasure to always gather us at your feet, to bless us with your word. Once again, we ask that you show us mercy. You look upon us with mercy, and you grant us your word this morning. Because the entrance of your word, it brings light and understanding. Lord, make our heart a fertile ground for your word and glorify your name. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. So before we look at the parable of the 10 virgins, I want us to take about 2 steps backwards to the condition that led to Jesus giving this parable. Now, if you read Matthew chapter 24, you know Matthew chapter 24 and chapter 25 is the same message that Jesus preached. If you read Matthew chapter 24, verse 1, you will discover that Jesus was leaving the temple with his disciples. And as they left the temple, the disciples called his attention and said, I want you to help me with Matthew chapter 25, verse 1, 24 rather. Called his attention and said, Master, do you see this temple and its stones? In fact, give me Luke 21. I think I'll prefer Luke 21, 5 and 6. Luke 21, 5 and 6. They called the attention of Jesus to the temple, and they were particular about something about the temple. Are we there? Then as... Are you sure you are there? Then as some of the temple... As some spoke of the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and donations. So when they called the attention of Jesus, they were calling his attention to the mighty edifice, the beauty and the glory of the temple. Now, if you know the Jews, you will know that the most magnificent thing, the thing they are most proud of as a nation, is the temple. Not just that it is a structural edifice, it's magnificent in terms of its structure, but it's their most spiritual site. Now, if you read this at the surface, you may be able to miss the point. But the point is that they are calling attention of Jesus to the place of their pride. Every Jew is always proud of the temple. The temple is the high point of their national life. And to them, most times they have been following Jesus and they may be surprised. Why is he not taking this thing so serious like we do? And when they said it, Jesus looked at them, verse 6 of Luke chapter 21, and said, you see this temple? These things which you see, the days will come in which not one stone shall be left upon another that shall not be thrown down. That was a serious statement. You mean that the most important thing in our national life, where the Ark of the Covenant is seated, will be destroyed, thrown to the ground, that not one stone will be left on top of the other? But Jesus was pointing at something. And that is where I want us to start this morning. Because as we talk about the urgency of the Master's return, the first question I have for us this morning, or the Lord is asking you and I, is what is that point of pride in your life? Most of us have spent our time building fame, building companies, building structures, building resources, making money. And when they touch you, that is what they touch. You see, small touch, you begin to tell all the stories of how you did exploit in your youth, and how you closed deals for your company, and how you were the youngest youth, the youngest in your company to be made the CEO or the MD. But Jesus is saying, a day will come, they will all be leveled to the ground. To some of us, it's our spiritual pride. You tell us how you fasted when you are 13 years old for 21 days without food and water. And so we need to understand this foundation, because that is where the whole story started. And Jesus told them, you see this your source of pride. You see this your highest achievement. A day will come, it will be turned to ashes. And the book of 2 Peter told us that the day of the Lord will come, that the heavens and earth will be melted. Everything we have achieved, You see those buildings, those infrastructures you are building for your 20th generation? They will be leveled to the ground. What then will remain? It was when Jesus said this that they were troubled. They followed him. The scripture said they went privately and asked him, Master, what will be the sign of this thing you are telling us? And when will it happen? You see, that is where the story, he now started telling them about the signs of the second coming and the rest of them. And then if you read Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, but about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. When Jesus was concluding the signs, you know, the message was given to his disciples about the signs of the end time. He made this critical, please put it up for us. He made this critical statement, but of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And now when he made this statement, it is on this statement that he quickly gave them four parables in sequence. The first parable was the parable of the faithful and wise servant. The second parable is what we are going to consider today, which is the parable of the 10 virgins, one of the most popular parables. Now, these first two parables were to emphasize this point. And that point is that no one knows the time or the hour. Then he quickly gave them the third and fourth parables. The third parable is about the parable of the talent and the gold. And then the fourth one was a parable of the sheep and the goat. Now that parable was to emphasize, okay, you know what happened? For example, when we were growing up, we heard about the revival of the scripture, you know, revival that happened in the east of the 60s and 70s. And when brethren, when they gave their life to Christ, they heard that Jesus is coming soon. He's coming any moment. And people started selling their properties. People started, those who were in school, dropped out from school. And people sold their properties, gave it to missions. People sold their companies because they were told Jesus is coming soon. He's coming at any moment. Waited the first year, the second year, the third year, Jesus did not come, and they gradually started becoming spiritual nuisance in the community. So Jesus was very careful to give us the parable of the talent and the parable of the goat and sheep. When he has told us that he can come at any time, he now is trying to say, what should be your response as you wait for his coming? And I want to trust God that next Sunday and Upper Sunday, the Lord will help us look at that, those parables. You know, he said, what is going to be my response? But today we'll be looking at the parable of the 10 virgins. I know I have used just 1 minute. So, the parable of the 10 virgins. Let's build a cultural background for this parable. You know, he said, verse 1 says, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the groom. 10 virgins. If you read it, you will think that Jesus is talking about a bride, a groom, and 10 virgins he wants to marry. Now, you may do well to use other translations to discover that those are not the bride, they are the bridesmaid. And I know the concept of bridesmaid is popular to us in this generation. Now, the question is, why the bridesmaid? In the culture of those days, wedding is done like this. The wedding activity happens in the house of the bride. The bridegroom is expected to come with his friends for the wedding activity. But the bridesmaids, who are the friends of the bride, are the ones to welcome the bridegroom. So how do they welcome the bridegroom? According to the culture, The bridegroom is expected to come, and there will be what we call in Igbo language, otimkpu. The heralds, the criers. You know, when the bridegroom enters the town where the wedding is expected to happen, the crier will cry. The bridegroom is at hand. That is in the using King James version. Now, is at hand means has arrived. And then the bridesmaids are expected to go to the city gate and usher in the bridegroom in a parade. Now, that parade entails them owning their lamp, whether it's in the morning or in the night. They own their light or their torch of those days. Learn you to describe it. They now stand, make a queue, and usher in the bridegroom and his friends. Why this is very important is that we live in a generation that we can twist anything. Tomorrow you'll be arguing with somebody and the person will tell you, even your Jesus said that a man married 10 virgins. You know what they did, what they have done to the rainbow sign. You know, now if you associate yourself with the rainbow sign, you go explain tire. So it's very, very important for us to lay this emphasis. Now, but the first point that I feel that the Lord wants us to bring out from here is that the bride, you notice that the bride was not mentioned in this parable. That is not the emphasis. The emphasis is that there is a bridegroom coming and the bridesmaids are in waiting. The bridesmaids carry their lamp in anticipation of the bridegroom. This is very critical because if first and foremost you don't know that the church is waiting for a bridegroom, that is where the problem starts. The scripture has told us over and over again that Jesus is the bridegroom and he is coming. So the question is, are you waiting for his coming? So if you don't even know that there is a bridegroom and there is anything called coming, then we have to first of all deal with the issue of the fact that you don't have the knowledge of God. And the first thing is to first of all make your personal relationship with God, set it aright. Because the hope of Jesus' coming is the pillar of the Christian church. The church is expected to live in anticipation, in hope of his coming. Please, you can help us put 1 John chapter 3. Behold the manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Verse 2. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet appeared. I'm reading NIV in my head. It has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Verse 3. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Oh, behold the manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. Now we are sons of God. That is what we know. He said, but when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him just as he is. And this is the hope we have. That when he appears, we shall be like him. And he said that every man that has this hope in him does what? Purifies himself even as he's pure. The hope of Jesus' coming is the pillar of our Christian faith.
That is what we look forward to. That is what we anticipate. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. Titus 2, verse 11 said, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men," verse 12, "teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age." And look at verse 13. "Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearance." Looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearance. That is what we look forward to. That is where our faith is based. That is what drives every of our action. Looking for the blessed hope. And that is why those virgins carried their lamp, went out waiting for the groom. And the question is, are you looking forward to the blessed hope of his appearing? No wonder Paul told them in 1 Corinthians, he said that if it is only for this world we trust in him, we are of all men most miserable. If why we believe is because of food on our table, is because of promotion, is because of affluence or influence, is because of whatever that is based on this present earth, we are of all men most to be pitied. Because the hope of his appearing is what we look forward to as a church. So they carried their lamp and they went out to meet him. Praise the Lord. And we read verse 5. Verse 5 says, Matthew chapter 25, verse 5. He said, "The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and they fell asleep." And just like the story I told about the revival of the scripture union that happened in the 60s and early 70s in the East, we have been waiting. We have been waiting for his coming. And 2 Peter told us that a time will come that mockers will arise and say, "Where is that coming that was spoken of? They say he's going to come. Has he come?" And when you are leaving the office, you tell somebody, "I'm coming," and you say, "Not like Jesus is coming soon, no." And because of that delay, every one of them fell asleep, became weak. And that is where we have found ourselves. A church that is asleep. A church that have lost her fervency. But was it prophesied? Yes, it was prophesied. Because the scripture said that a day before the Lord is like 1,000 years. And 1,000 years to man is like a day before the Lord. You know, I was doing that calculation when one of our bosses in the office, he was a very feared man. Very feared man. And respected as well, one of the top guys. And when he died, the whole company, in fact, he died like a month to his retirement. It was so painful. The whole company was, you know, people were murmuring. And then when they were doing the service of song, you know, we were just little boys like us. We stood somewhere and we were discussing. And just like we mentioned, somebody was saying, in fact, the testimony people were sharing in his service of song, they say he liked cars. When you enter his compound, there's no fancy car you will not see. None. He travels himself, buys it. In fact, there was somebody was telling us a story of how he even bought a truck because he was an engineer. He bought a truck and he dismantled it himself, put it in the ship, they brought it to his house, he fixed it. Those of us who are in VGC might know him. You know, he had it. And the question we are asking ourselves, as little as we are in the company, is those cars, who is going to drive them? Just like the disciples, we are saying, look at this magnificent temple. Look at this, you know. Jesus is coming again. And I don't know what we are using our time to do. But the question is, you have waited. I started hearing it when I was a little younger than this. And now my son is hearing it too. And my time will come and might come and go. He himself will be telling people about it. And his time might come. And it becomes a source of discouragement to some. A source of mockery from the world. This Jesus you are saying is coming. We are in secondary school. We are disturbing. In fact, one of my classmates in school said, I hope you are not going to go to university. This is why you are disturbing us when Jesus is coming. Well, we finished secondary school. We went to university. We came back. We are still saying Jesus is coming. We finished university. We've married. Jesus is coming. We have given birth. Jesus is coming. Very soon, we start walking with walking stick. But is he coming? Yes, he is. Because God is faithful. Has he spoken it? It will come to pass. He said it. He's coming the first time. And people played around with it. And he said it is coming again. And they all slept. All, both the wise and both the foolish. They all slept. Praise the Lord. And I want us to read verse 6 to 10. Verse 6 to 10 said, at midnight, the cry rang out, here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out. No, they replied, there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourself. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. While they're on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. And the scripture underlines something, that those who were ready, they weren't ready because they didn't sleep. Everybody slept. They weren't ready because they didn't feel drowsy. Everybody felt drowsy. They were ready because they had prepared themselves, waiting for the master, that whether he catches me sleeping, whether he catches me in the boardroom, whether he catches me betting, he will find me ready to go with him. And I noted down a few points. The first one said that we do not have all the time to prepare. We have but a short time. And Romans chapter 13 told us that. I want us to read this very quickly. Romans 13 verse 11 says, and do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. the day is almost here. So let us put aside deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Our salvation is nearer now than we first believed. We do not have all the time. If 2,000 years ago he said he's coming, and now we are seeing all the signs of his coming being fulfilled before us. We know of the war going on between Israel and Hamas. Point of correction, not Israel and Palestine, Hamas. They are two different things. I know two friends called me. I walked into the office. Somebody tapped me and said, your country is at war. And then somebody called me on phone. One brother that used to be here, he called me on phone and said, now you are happy that Israel is winning. Because they have seen me associate myself, you know. There's this newsletter I used to follow. I have been following it for more than 15 years. You know, they call themselves Prophecy Update. And they give every day update of the signs of the coming of Jesus. Every day they send it to your inbox. And you look at the signs pertaining to Israel. Look at the signs pertaining to activities of the world. Look at the signs and everything and how it pertains to the coming of the Son of God. Jesus is coming. We do not have all the time to prepare. This is the time to prepare. The second point is, we must prepare. How do we prepare? We must live our life as if he's coming now that I'm talking. And how do we do that? Let every of my action be done in view of eternity. Those decisions you are making, if they weigh it in view of eternity, will they stand? Or will they turn into ashes like the temple? You sit in the boardroom. You know, because sometimes you ask yourself questions. Believers, do we live as if we are expecting the Son of God to come? That is why a believer will be made a director and you will steal more than unbelievers. You will steal for your 50th generation. And you'll be asked, when you take those decisions, are you taking it in light of eternity? When you make those policies, are they made that when they are weighed in eternity, will they turn into flame or will they turn into gold? When you have that discussion or that interaction in the office or on phone or with your spouse, and you use those words or you do those gossips, and if Jesus comes, we weigh them in the light of eternity. Will they turn into ashes or will they turn into gold? Let us live our life in view of eternity. Let eternity be the driving force for everything you do, not just when you come to church. Thank God in VFC, almost all of us are professionals. You sit in meetings. You make decisions just for the immediate to fill your pocket. Politicians make decisions for the next election cycle. Every decision they make is in view. You know, they've started gathering again. We are still in court. They've started meeting for 2027, Abby. But unfortunately, some believers make decisions based on the next square meal. We live as if we do not have a hope of Jesus' coming. Make your decisions in view of eternity. The third point is, the time to help one another is now. The time to seek for help is now. On that day, uncle, you can't help your wife. They said, our lamp has no oil. Give me oil. They said, no, it is not enough for both of us. Go and buy. And Jesus said in Luke, when he was talking about this, he said that two will be lying down on the bed. One will be taken. One will be left. Two will be in the field farming. One will be taken. One will be left. He said, pray that your flight will not be in the winter. If you need to help your son or your daughter, this is the time. If you need help to be ready, this is the time. There will not be opportunity for even 5 minutes prayer meeting. It's not when the trumpet will sound, the worship director will say, we are meeting online, we are meeting online. No. There won't be time. If I need to prepare, this is the time to prepare. And if you need help to prepare, this is the time. Because when it happens, there won't be time to help even your sweetheart. Both of you might be lying on the same bed. There won't be time. And Jesus said it. This is the time to seek for help. And the final point I want to pick from here before we conclude is that when you read verse 11 to 13, you will discover that at the end, everybody will be ready. One thing I discovered anytime I read these things is that at the end, everybody will call him Lord, Lord. But the funny part of it is that it will be late for some of us. Because when they eventually got ready, they gathered their oil. They came and said, Lord, Lord, we are ready. But the scripture said that the door has been shut. You see, the scripture said that even those that pierced him will call him Lord. Even those that mock him or that mocked him or still mock him will call him Lord. But at that time, it's inconsequential. Because the door has been shut. So at the end, everybody will be ready. Everybody. But we need to understand that we do not have the time under our control. And that is why Jesus gave us this parable. He said, that day or hour, no one knows except my Father. We will eventually be ready. You are shifting it. You don't want to be ready now. You are shifting it. Don't worry. Time will come. You will be ready. But that is your own timing. By his own timing, the door has been shut. And once the door is shut, what will he say? Get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I know you not. So when am I supposed to be ready? Now. And I want us to read verse 13, Matthew 25, verse 13. Watch therefore, thank you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. If you read some other translations like J.B. Phillips, he said, be alert. Be on the lookout. Because when they say watch, it's as if it's closing the impact. Be alert. Watch out. Be on the lookout. Watching means be consciously looking out for the coming of the Son of God. I know if you are going, if you visit a new area you have not visited before, and you are driving, and you are looking for a street, you know it's different from when you are going to your house. You can drive to your house with your eyes closed. And you know where to turn. You can be gisting with your wife and you turn. But when you are visiting a new area and they told you, look for Sister Eberenaji Street. And you are looking. They say it's by the right. You are driving. Somebody is talking to you, but you are doing what? You are counting every street you pass. Is that the one? No. Is it the next one? What be tell you if you are doing it in one lane where last mile is? But you are looking out. That is what it means to be on the lookout. Watch out. Is it now? Is it happening now? That is the way we expected to live our life. Looking out for the coming of the Son of Man. You don't postpone anything. If there is a relationship to be fixed now, now is the time to fix it. If there's somebody to call and apologize, now is the time to do it. If there's a part of your relationship with God that you need to strengthen, this is the time to do it. You are looking out. You are not delaying anything. You are not allowing anything to distract you. You spoke wrongly to your spouse, you will not wait till you come back in the evening before you apologize. You are doing it immediately. You might be driving, you are calling, you are saying, I'm sorry for the way I spoke to you. You mistakenly, I don't know who does that anyway, but you mistakenly curse somebody. You don't wait until you see the person the next Sunday before you apologize. You make the call immediately. That is what it means to look out. You mistakenly signed a bill and you saw $5 billion hit your account. And you are saying, how do we explain? No, transfer it back. And then start, look for the explanation later. If there is something to be strengthened, it is now. Watch out. Look out. Why? Please give us that verse again, brother. Why? Verse 13. For you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. I do not know. You do not know. The only responsibility that I have is to look out. Is to strengthen my relationship with God every moment. I remember discussing with a colleague some years back. And he said, there was something he said, and he lied to the boss. He's a Christian. And as we are walking, he said, Chai, this one I lied to my boss, and I'm going to fellowship today. When I go to fellowship, I will confess. And I looked at him and said, you don't know what Christ has done. You're waiting for you to get to fellowship, for you to confess. The moment you discovered, right there and then, is when you are doing it. Because between now and fellowship is eternity. Anything can happen. Anything. Even the most healthy person can slump and die. I lost a colleague of mine 2 years ago. Died at a very young age. One of the youngest in our team. The news was everywhere on the papers. Some of you may have read it. He told his wife, hey, my sister is coming back from UK. I need to go and pick her and drop her at home and then I'll come back. The wife said, do not go. Let her pick over. He said, no. I need to go and pick her. They quarreled over it. He died at a very young age. Youngest in our team. They quarreled over it. The wife told me that he left the house through the back door because they quarreled over it. He said, you can't leave me here. Have a 1 year plus old baby and I'm heavy. He said, no, we are talking about my sister. He went to the airport, picked the sister. They had traffic. They got home towards First Act Axis. And then he called the wife and said, I can't come back today. I will come back first thing tomorrow morning. That very night, the brother-in-law set both of them ablaze. Burnt the wife's brother, the only son of the family. The wife called me. I was in the office. Said, Mr. Emma, I have not heard from my husband. I don't know what is going on. I started making call. He left a young girl of 20-something years old with a 1 year plus baby and a heavy pregnancy. And one man burnt them alive. And when we are talking in the office, I told my colleagues, I said, then I've not lost my mom, I've lost my dad. I said, that death pained me more than my... In fact, when the sister-in-law called me to tell me they've not told the wife, how do we communicate it? After the call, I went to the conference room and I cried like a baby. Very young man, heavy, like two times of my size, full of life. I asked them in the office, I say, all the clothes, all the shoes, all the ambition that we call him Igwe, that Igwe has, who will inherit them? What will happen to it? We do not know the time. We do not know the hour. We do not. It can happen to even the youngest. You saw videos of children being beheaded during this, when Hamas kidnapped some children. 2 years, 1 year, 2 years. Who knows that these children will die at that age? Nobody anticipated it. It can happen to the least of us. It can happen to the highest of us. It can happen to the oldest. It can happen to the youngest. But what we need to do is to prepare. Be on the lookout. I do not know the hour, the time the Son of Man will come. Bow down your heads. Let's pray.
saved.